And joining us now from New Hampshire, Fish and Game, up north, I might say, wildlife biologist Jill Kilbourne. Jill, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm doing wonderfully, thank you. Now, you are the project lead on the management of our largest wildlife management area, which is the Connecticut Lakes Natural Area?
Correct. It's a 25,000-acre property that Fish and Game manages up in the very northern tip of the state in Pittsburgh.
Wow. Wow. And now part of this is like about 15,000 of those 25,000 acres are in untouchable territory, right?
Correct. So when the property was acquired by the department, there was a conservation easement put on that property by the Nature Conservancy.
Sure.
Who was the original owner.
Okay.
That easement pretty much dictates or pulls the right to manage the forest, essentially, on 15,000 acres away from the department. They retained that right. And then the other 10,000 acres we can manage specifically for wildlife. So we can do all sorts of different types of habitat manipulation on that 10,000 acres.
Okay, so I guess the first question right off the top of my head, how the heck do you manage 10,000 acres?
Awesome question.
It seems like a daunting task.
Yeah, so the first step is just collecting a bunch of information on that 10,000 acres. So when the department first purchased the land, we also set up an inventory where we went out and actually measured a bunch of different things on the property. And from all those measurements that we took, we actually developed a stewardship plan. So you crunch all that data and you figure out the different habitat types and things that you want to do to the habitat to make it better.
Mm-hmm.
And you compile all that information to a stewardship plan that we use to kind of guide how we do management on the property. So that really kind of identifies the best places to start.
Yeah.
And then we take that starting point and develop some more specific plans from there.
Right. Right. As you get more into the details of what the land has to offer and how it provides habitat for wildlife. But you've got to consider not just the wildlife, but the timber. I mean, it's all kind of part of it.
Yeah, so we're super fortunate that we do have timber that's worth something. So part of habitat management is working with the forestry community. So we're actively working with loggers and foresters here within the state to set up projects on the property so that we can actually contribute to the local economies through that habitat management. So we're doing active forestry on that property.
Wow, that's awesome. And then, so how's the wildlife?
The wildlife is
teeming?
Cool.
Is it teeming?
It's teeming with wildlife, for sure. So this is a property that has a lot of really cool habitats on it, especially for New Hampshire. So it's a lot of softwood and northern habitat that's not really as common or isn't found in the southern part of the state. So we have a wide variety of species that are kind of specific to this habitat. So things like Canada lynx and gray jays and American marten, a bunch of species are associated with softwood.
Wow.
Found on this property. So it's a really cool place to visit.
Oh, that's awesome. Have you ever run into something that you didn't expect to see?
Oh, that's a good question. No, I wouldn't say anything that surprised me too much. I mean, some of those more, the less common species like lynx, which are federally listed right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We started seeing them consistently on the property. That was probably one of the biggest surprises to really see that species roaming around on that property quite a bit.
Oh, that's good. Again, because part of what it is you do is you're kind of always taking the pulse of the particular wildlife, like deer, moose, lynx, and you're sort of seeing how everything's going. And if you see the lynx out there, that's got to bring a smile to your face.
Exactly. So it kind of makes us feel good that we know that we conserved this landscape and we're working on this landscape for specific wildlife, and to have them there is a big part of what we do. So yeah, it was a really cool thing.
Has there been anything that you would expect to see certain wildlife, say moose, but maybe the moose aren't doing so good, or where you're not seeing what you think you should be seeing?
Yeah, so you probably have talked to other folks in the department and well aware of the situation with moose.
Yeah, I know.
Moose definitely have, declined significantly up in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And so on those habitats on the CLNA, specifically on the 15,000 acres where we're not doing any of the active management,
right.
Some of those species that like to have active management are going to be not seen in that area as much. So things like grouse and moose, which depend on a lot of early successional or young forest habitats, so those mm-hmm. dense stands of trees that are growing back, they're just not going to be found
right.
on that part of the property
right.
as much as they were before. But otherwise, on the rest of the property, the remainder 146,000 acres that surrounds the CLNA is being actively managed by a landowner, and there's just an abundance of that type of habitat. So,
that's great.
We're kind of in the greater matrix up there, and everybody's doing their part for providing all those species needs, for sure.
That's awesome. Now, you do have, you don't have to walk 10,000 acres. You do have some, you have some inroads, right?
We sure do. So there's about 50 miles of road infrastructure on the property.
Oh, okay,
which
great.
Which takes up a big chunk of my time because, as a landowner, and as one of the goals of the Fish and Game in owning lands like this, we want people to have access
right.
And be able to recreate on these properties. So mm-hmm. we do manage that infrastructure. About probably 20 miles of it is actually drivable with a vehicle. So we're working on gravel road issues and stream crossings and things like that. And then there's a wide variety of other, like, winter roads, they call them, roads that are only available for use in the wintertime.
Yes, we do not plow. Do not expect the plow.
Yeah,
right.
People have access to those for walking and hiking. And then a big chunk of that infrastructure is also open in the wintertime for snowmobiling.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
wide
great.
Wide variety to access opportunities on the
property. And which is important because really, I mean, that's the whole point of WMAs and taking care of certain tracts of land here in New Hampshire so we can kind of maintain strong rural land.
Exactly. Open space, clean air, clean water are all things that we're taking into consideration in owning these big chunks of land. But unless you're providing an opportunity to the public to get out there and utilize those lands and appreciate those lands, it's all part of that picture and why we own WMAs.
And here's a job that you'll never finish, Jill, because there is no end to managing it.
Exactly. And it's actually what makes my job so cool is every day is different and I'm always doing different projects and identifying different work. And it just makes it a really cool job to have, for sure.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I cannot thank you enough for sharing with us here today because, again, the rural context that New Hampshire brings, I mean, this is why we all kind of live here.
Exactly. Yep. And we're very fortunate to have the diversity of ownerships and the landscape that we have here in New Hampshire. So it's a great place to live for sure.
And the owners that work with Fish and Game too, to say, you know, so because they're going, I care about my land. I don't own it just to own it. I care about it staying the way it is or being the best that it can be. And that's there's a great connection that you have to the landowners.
Exactly. We have active programs where we work with private landowners to help them manage their property for wildlife. And there's some really great opportunities to just do, even if you own just 20 acres, there's different projects that can be done on a private ownership. Or if you own 146,000 acres,
yeah.
there's things that can be done. So
we can talk to everybody.
We're always reaching out to folks and finding ways to just implement different wildlife habitat work on their properties for sure.
All right. Well, Jill Kilborn, thank you. Thank you so much for what it is you do. And thanks for sharing it with us.
You bet.